afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Psychic Sandbox, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, weekly on Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host psychic medium Cindy Leacock of Spirit Messages. Playfully and joyfully, the Psychic Sandbox radio show offers tools to expand your approaches to tapping into sacred energy and psychic experiences. Share your exciting experiences on air, get a psychic or mediumship reading, and possibly win a prize. If you would like a free one-question reading today, please call in at 646-378-0378 and push number one to be put into the queue. And now I give you your wonderful host, Cindy Leacock.
Hi, and welcome to the Psychic Sandbox. My name is Cindy Leacock, and I am your radio host today. I am a psychic medium, and I have been intensely studying and using and testing psychic methods since 1973. So you can sign up for a full psychic mediumship reading with me on my website at www.cindyleacock.com. I'll spell my name because it's a little different. Cindy is C-I-N-D-I, Leacock is L-E-A-C-O-C-K, so it's cindyleacock.com. I'm going to do my annual August sale this month, so a half-hour reading is only $39.99. So go to my website and book a reading today, and it will be a lot cheaper than usual. We have a different type of show for the next hour. We have a very talented psychic to read for you, and she will be staying with us for the whole hour. She'll be on in about 10 minutes. Our special guest is Mary Ahenicu, a psychic medium. Mary, who I'm honored to say, is a member of my spirit circle. And we'll talk about her becoming a psychic medium, and we'll discuss a number of questions and ideas about being a psychic. And then she'll do one question readings for you beginning at the half hour. So if you'd like a reading from Mary, please call our phone number. It's 646-378-0378. All right, recess time. We are out the school door. It's time to play in the Psychic Sandbox. Each week, we start recess by grabbing a pen and paper, getting a cup of coffee or an iced tea or a soda, then put your feet up, sink into a chair, and let that chair take all of your weight and relax your body for the next hour, more and more relaxed as we go along. Our regular listeners plan to take this restful and relaxing recess with us each week during this hour. If you can't rest today during today's show, just plan to join us and put your feet up next week. So take your time to get settled in while I discuss the nature of our psychic sandbox. What is our psychic sandbox? Well, it's a metaphor. Let me explain. Here, it is as if we are at recess in kindergarten. We covered ourselves in sand, and we may have even tried to eat it. We pounded it down with rain and water and made castles and stuck sticks in it and did all kinds of things to make pretty things. And we did and do try everything possible you can do with sand. We learned as children about how to make things with our physical body. But in the psychic sandbox, we are learning how to use our mind to try to do everything possible with what we refer to, you know, in the sand in the metaphor, is divine golden light. So the sand is divine golden light, and the sandbox is our time together to explore psychic methods using that sand, because we need a lot of that high energy in order to up our vibration enough to read psychically. This radio show originated with the idea of giving you a free hour recess from life to relax, to learn, and to try easy psychic practices. Anyone can do these. You know, until recently, we didn't know that anyone could learn to be psychic mediums. We did not realize, we didn't know that anybody could, you know, take a class, be taught by a teacher, and start to tune up their vibrations and be able to receive messages from spirit. But we now know that that's true, because so many people with no previous psychic medium experiences have learned to be great mediums. So in the not so long ago past, everybody thought you were born with the gift, or you weren't, or it ran in families, or just some people had it and they don't know why. But that is, you know, just a coincidence, because everybody has the ability. It's just some people use it right after they're born and continue to use it when they're children. But even if you have that and you have practiced since you were a child, you still learn to be a good reader. You know, you have the ability, but it takes working with other people and learning about how to deliver your message. And so everybody not only learns psychic methods and mediumship methods, but they also have to learn how to get the message across. So there's some things to it, but everybody can learn it. So the weeks we don't have a guest psychic medium, I'll teach you a new method to invoke the divine golden energy and to prepare for our psychic session. Then we'll learn a new psychic method each week. So, oh yeah, you may have watched April, the giraffe at the zoo, give birth to her baby Tajiri. His name, Tajiri, means hope and confidence in Swahili. So Tajiri is going to end up eating the highest leaves off of a tree when he has grown up. You have seen giraffes eat high leaves, I'm sure. So you can reach the highest vibrations of spirit when you grow in your psychic and mediumship training. I want to say this, and I said it last week, this is in your hands. You have to get the ball rolling. If you want to do it, you can. And I will tell you, it is a very, very satisfying experience every day for me. It has made my life so happy. So, Tajiri to you, I hope you will take time to learn your psychic skills, and I have every confidence that you can. And I love to hear people's psychic experiences that are new to learning psychic methods. And each week, because of that, we give a prize to a person who has tried the psychic method from our week before and shares it over the air. This week, we are giving away a free reading by me to anyone who calls in with their own psychic experience from the show. So more than anything, I just want to create a safe setting for you to play with new psychic methods, exercises, and have a lot of fun, where you are free from life, from anyone else's judgment, and you can just relax. Did you know that you can be awarded a free beginning psychic certificate from the Psychic Sandbox Radio Show? It's really easy. It's really fun. After you get it, you can take this to any other psychic class in the future and show that you are ready for level two. And I know some of you are already working on your certificate. So everyone else who's listening, please feel free to send me a question at any time on the email form of the last page of my website. I will write you back within a day. I will reply with a couple of questions so I can personalize your training just for you. And we will have one phone conversation for coaching, and I will give you a free reading. Overall, everyone who will practice and learn six techniques for 6 weeks and then choose their favorite method, one that they'll keep using in the future, will receive their certificate. So the certificate program is free, and it's listed on our blog, and so is my website listed on our blog. So write this down. You got the pen, paper, okay? Tumblr is the blog, T-U-M-B-L-R, and then the search box, put Psychic Sandbox, all one word. Psychic Sandbox, all one word, in Tumblr. And all the instructions are listed, but if you have questions, don't hesitate to email. All the references, all the exercises, everything that the previous guests we've had on the show, everything is on that Tumblr blog. And please sign up as a friend or a member, because I'd like to know who all is tuning in. And you can also go to my Facebook page, which is Spirit Messages, Cindy Leacock, Messages, Cindy Leacock. And I'll be putting on information on my Facebook page about the radio show all the time. So what methods have you been playing with? Did you try the meditation from last week where you open your third eye chakra, Did you look at the rows and see a yes or a no? I hope everyone is having exciting psychic experiences. There's nothing like the first time you see something psychically. It's like the first time you walked. When I say the heavens cheered, I am not exaggerating. Your evolution is also spirit's evolution. Because you probably don't know it yet, you have spirit guides that are helping you right now, giving you suggestions, and you can learn their names eventually and ask questions of them directly. The guide for the Psychic Sandbox radio show told me today that when you see or hear the word cardinal, see a cardinal or hear it, see it as a refrigerator magnet, whatever, that is a message from your spirit guide and the radio show guide, and they are all in touch about this for all of us. So they are working behind the scenes for all of us to improve our psychic abilities. And the cardinal is a great way to confirm that you are a part of this and that you're advancing. So now it is my great pleasure to introduce Maria Henneke, psychic medium. I am so honored to say that she's a member of my spirit circle. She's done a number of readings for me that were spot on, and she gave me a reading at the beginning of our relationship that validated something so vitally important to me that no one else has. It eased my mind like I cannot tell you. It eased my mind so much. So I look forward to hearing her read for you. So we're going to start. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Be here, and I want to say hello to everybody that's listening, and let's begin.
Okay, great. I know that there's some people out there are here just meant to hear from you and are meant to be with you, and so I want to point that out, that your energy is really going to vibrate with them. They're going to recognize in an inner level that you're for them, and so let's tell them about you. So start by telling me about, I know you were an empath early on. Tell me a little bit about that.
Just being really sensitive to energy and picking up on people's emotions and walking into a room and just picking up on the feelings, the energy, the emotions, and also really caring about people that, you know, you can feel that they're in pain or something's going on with them. I mean, it's one thing, you know, we can't all be happy and joyous all the time. I just found, like, compassion in people, in animals, in, you know, things in nature, just like a calling. And, you know, growing up as a child, I was kind of, you know, a loner, and I just a very big observer of the world, of people and interactions and making things sense of the things around me. And, as I grew older, again, it was always making sense and having these questions and seeking knowledge and answers for these questions I had as far as, you know, the purpose in life and why are we here and what happens to us after we die. And I had all these questions. So, I mean, I can say that I approached spirituality more as a skeptic in a way, which I think is good because we are always looking for a deeper connection. And there are always questions, but I can say that was the beginning. It's like feeling a little bit different in the way people kind of reacted to things that I said or things that I did. And also in my family, my parents had experiences with their family members and seeing them in spirit and things that happened, like in situations that were kind of a crisis situation where spirit came through and kind of helped and assisted. So I also had these stories that I grew up with too.
That's quite a validation,
Yes, validation. But I was still kind of questioning, you know, a lot of us suffer loss. And there was one point where I had a dear friend that was kind and a gentle and giving person. And, you know, out of the blue, and he's very, you know, healthy and all these things. He was in his early 20s, you know, just 20, actually. And, you know, he all of a sudden he wasn't feeling well. And then he was diagnosed with cancer of the spine. And I remember visiting him at Sloan Kettering, and, you know, he had some ups and downs, but at one point it went into remission, and he was going to be released and going to be transferred to a rehabilitation center. And I was like, this is great. I can, you know, visit you there. And, you know, so it was like, okay, you know, he's going to beat this thing. And then the next thing I know, the next information I find out is he passed away, and I didn't have that closure with him. And that was devastating to me. And again, it made me question, like, okay, you know, why did this happen to this person? And is he okay? I mean, what happened? You know, what is that connection? Where do you go? What's the transformation? So again, I had more questions.
One of the things I know about you is that you are a real critical thinker. It's not like anything can get past you without you saying, wait a minute, I wonder about that. And I know that it must have been somewhat difficult to, you know, understand what had happened. And so did you ever have him come through in a reading?
I haven't had him come through. I feel like, you know, I went and I had my first reading with a, because I wanted, you know, at that point I wasn't practicing. I didn't know how to connect or raise my vibration or connect to spirit. I mean, I'd have things that would happen to me and things like premonitions and deja vu, and I've been here and I've done this. I've had dreams that, you know, things would come to me, but I wasn't able to connect to him on a spiritual, well, I can't say on a spiritual level, in a way that, you know, I could see him, you know, like come to me, like you think in, you know, television shows and people see, you know, people appear, and it wasn't like that at all. But a friend of mine knew of a medium, a local medium, and I had never gotten a reading or anything, so I went to her, and she's a dear person, and it was my first time, and I had all these questions, and it was in springtime. It was April, and spring to me, you know, is rebirth, renewal, and it was like the perfect time. It was almost setting, it was almost, you know, when I think of it, it was almost him setting everything up for that. And she did, was able to bring him in. And the message that I got was, I'm okay. You know, you can't dwell on all this. You have to move forward. I'm okay. You know, there was things, I knew there was things that he wanted to do, but again, he was okay, and he was in spirit, and it just kind of made me believe in, you know, life after death, you know, and there really isn't any death. It's just a transition to a different type of plane, you know. It's a spirit. It's a spirit plane. And I really, from that point, and this is, oh my gosh, oh, I can't even, I'd say maybe 20 years ago,
wow.
At least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My experience with this. And it propelled me to become more interested in the spirit world. And it was almost a revelation to me that, yes, life does continue on. Even I heard, you know, you hear people, other people's experiences, even my mom and my dad's experiences. My dad, for example, had a horrible experience taking care of his great aunt, who was in a nurse, well, she was in the hospital, and she was having to be transferred to a nursing home, a rehab, rehabilitation/nursing home, and she lived in another state, and he was, you know, her only nephew. She's my great aunt. But he went through all of the nursing homes, and they were all full. There were no beds available. And that night, he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. He was, like, at his wit's end. And he was, you know, sleeping in her bed or trying to get to sleep because, you know, this was weighing heavy on him, and he had, you know, to go home and go back to work and so on. And, you know, he was awakened, and at the foot of the bed, he saw his father plain as day. And he just sat up and said, Pop, you know, and his dad, he saw his dad turned around and started walking out the room, and he jumped out of bed and started following him. And, you know, his spirit form disappeared. But the next day, there was a bed in one of those nursing homes. Found things like that. I was, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
And,
but
that was his experience, and I wanted my own experience, you know, and it's not until you have your own experience that it's like, yeah, and I really didn't get my own experience until I started, you know, seeking teachers and learning how to connect and learning to meditate, and I felt like I had I tried to meditate. I couldn't still my mind. I mean, I know a lot of people might have the similar feelings or experiences, but I felt like, oh gosh, I can't quiet my mind. I can't do this. And And I was able to enroll in some Reiki classes because, you know, it's all energy. We are energy. You know, at our purest, we are energy. In this earth plane, we have, you know, flesh and blood, you know, organs and all like that. But at our essence, we are energy. And, of course, if you take physics, energy cannot be destroyed, you know. So, and it's, you know, where we exist and we're eternal. And anyway, so I decided to take some Reiki because I'm also called to healing. And it's like I have this, you know, caring, deep caring for people on an emotional level, a healing level, health level, you know, just on a soul level, and just this deep empathy and caring about people. And I had a calling to, you know, take some Reiki classes, and I did. And it was at that point during an attunement that, you know, things awakened in me. I felt like my chakras, if people know about your chakras, your brow chakra is where, you know, it's connected to, you know, your pituitary, your pineal gland, and that, you know, it opens up, and that's where you receive clairvoyance information. And at that attunement, that first attunement, it was like everything opened up, and it was just like
emotional. Oh my gosh!
And it was at that first rate that I was able to just settle in and really relax and start opening up my my chakra, my brow chakra, and my third eye, and start seeing things and start receiving information. And that was my really first, like, breakthrough. But I would say that my dear friend that passed from cancer, he was almost the trigger that kind of propelled me into a journey of learning about and practicing spiritualism and psychic mediumship. And, you know, from that point, from Reiki, I started seeking teachers and going to workshops and really developing my abilities and learning how to raise your vibration to connect to the higher vibrations that are in the spirit world, you know, and on the other side. And I would say on the other side of life, because there's really is a transition. There's really no life and death, you know, in reality.
Right. What is your predominant clair? Like, when you very first started? I'm sure my listeners are really interested to know. What did you see? Did you hear? I mean, what happened psychically? What was your first one to really open up?
My clairvoyant, the brow chakra, that third eye seeing.
The brow, yeah.
Clairvoyant.
Yeah, that's the most common.
Yes, and I receive primarily through that way, and I also have a sense of I hear clairaudience and clairsentience, the feeling, like the personality, you know, those are pretty much, I guess, those three clairs are my strongest.
You know, I just heard something the other day that I did not know, that we get our clairaudience through our throat chakra. Did you know that? I
it
just
makes
learned
sense.
That. It does, doesn't it?
Yes,
I was
it
so
makes,
excited. I thought, yeah, because you could consciously makes, work on opening it. Mm-hmm.
I think those are like, to me, the number three is really important, and it's like, you know, your ear, your third eye, and your throat, that if it, like, they form a, you know, if you're just concentrating on, I get a lot of information on my left side. So if I, you know, connect the dots, it's like a triangle there, you know, from my brow, my throat,
oh,
to my left ear, you know.
I do it on the right side. I'm totally right side. That's so interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And, I mean, I'm left-handed too, so it might be
oh,
that kind
you're
of
kidding. That's so wild.
So that's, you know, I that's where I first received everything from. Like
uh-huh.
I saw spirit
yeah.
in my mind's eye on my left side above my head, and I'm starting to work also on my right side as far as getting information and sorting information out, so I can give what I'm getting, so the sitter that I'm reading can understand and make those connections and say, yeah, that's my uncle on my dad's side, you know, or, oh, no, that's my aunt on my grandma on my mom's side. So, you know, I'm trying to use both sides of me and asking spirit to come through on different sides of me so I can sort out who's who and what's what and kind of get the information in a way that I can verbally express it to the sitter so they can understand who it is and what they're saying and why they came, why are they here and what they have to say. As far as
could
messages.
I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
So when I, like if I'm reading for somebody and I'll say, oh, I see somebody feeding a horse a carrot, and they go, no, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, then I would take it over on my left side and say, can you sort this out for me? What am I trying to get across here? And they say, oh, you know, it's about their favorite food or something. The grandmother is trying to say, they remember the favorite food I gave you. And, you know, that wasn't the best symbol to use for that person. Something like that, like you take it over to the other side to get more information.
Well, I kind of said, I think intention and intentions before you give a reading, how you prepare is very important and how you communicate with spirit. And I do, you know, I feel like we have our guides, and our guides can be somebody from past lives or some ascended master, you know, somebody that we have not known, but they are here to you know, they're here to help us. We only have to ask and reach out. And then I also feel, and a lot of people, you know, always think of all these guides, you know, that they have no really knowledge of or connection to or anything. But our guides can also be our loved ones, our family members, too, because they could come and help us, and all we need to do is call. But
totally.
To me, when I set my intention and I ask spirit to come through, for example, if I have a sitter that I'm going to read for, and just to help me sort things out, I ask spirit, like, if you're on their father's side of the family, please come through clairvoyantly, and the feelings that I get and everything on my right side. So I can differentiate if they're on the father's side of the family or the mother's side of the family, because we have ancestors of our families. And in order for, you know, to be more specific, and so there's more clarity. And so when you're describing these people, that you could say, yes, I know who that is. That's Uncle John, and he was my, you know, my mom's favorite uncle. You know what I mean? So
I do.
You know,
that's
so
a great technique.
Can definitely say, yeah, I know who this is. And then,
well, you know what, Mary, I'm just going to cut you off here because it's time for you to start doing readings. Do you want to go to work?
Okay.
Why don't you give everybody your contact information? So if they'd like a reading from you, go ahead and tell us how they can reach you.
Okay. You can contact me via email. My email address is medium, M-E-D-I-U-M dot Mary, M-A-R-Y-A, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Mary, and go ahead and start your readings. Courtney, who do you have for?
Awesome. I just want to remind everybody that if you're interested in a reading, please call in at 646-378-0378 and make sure to stay on the line. Up first, we have Diane from North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Hi, girls. I just wanted to call in and show my support to you two.
Oh,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you know who this
is? Do you have a question?
Who is it?
No,
Diane! That is so funny.
Diane. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
Diane is another member of our spirit circle. Well, I think Marianne had answered a question for you.
This what?
Do you have a question for Mary?
No, I don't have a question for Mary. I was just calling in to show Mary my support because I know this was her first time, and just let you guys know that I was out there listening.
Oh,
thank
you, are
Diane.
So sweet.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
I love you, girls. Okay.
Love
Bye.
You.
Love you, too.
All right, guys. Up first, we have Allison, and Allison is calling from Arizona. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi.
Hello? What's your question?
Oh, hi. I am wondering what you see for finding a new living space in my local area.
I'm feeling that it needs to be a place that's convenient, that you can get around easily. Something to do with the street. The street is significant. I feel the street, the place is needs to be in a central location that that is not too far from stores and the daily life and businesses and things, but that's also not too far from, you know, places where you can go just for peace and quiet and places that you go to nurture your soul. Does that make sense?
That would be a nice balance for sure, yeah.
And I feel like your work is really important to you, and you need that convenience. I also feel that I feel like that's also something that you're thinking about changing too. I feel like there are a lot of decisions that you need to make, and I also feel that you need to find the right person, the right realtor, and go with your gut. But you also need a place that, when you go looking for the places, I feel like I'm leaning towards like I'm hearing apartment, because I'm asking, is it a house or? But I feel like street and where there's light and more of like an apartment, a smaller setting that's convenient, but still, again, that's near your job, but I also feel like you're contemplating doing other things, and perhaps going and learning things that you're passionate about. Does that can you validate that?
Yeah, I think there's some strong need for revamping quite a bit of my life, actually. I don't necessarily feel a calling to go back to school, per se, certainly not in any full-time sense. Something more maybe along the lines of just starting to take some classes that would interest me. And also my work is really, it's just a job, it's part-time. Yeah. And it doesn't bring in very much money, but also more to the point, it also isn't rewarding in any way, really. It's not a career job by any means. It's only part-time. So there's a lot of contemplation about when to give that job up. That's just for me to know. But
right.
Yeah, that's part of sort of the revamping process that I need to create more. But that's more of a long-term picture. The most pressing issue is finding a living space that satisfies much of what you've already picked up and some other things as well. But it's a very, 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 very hard housing market anymore. And I've been looking for, now it's almost 5 months, and the availability is just, it's just amazing. It's frightening how little there is for a single person in this town. It's all pretty much, you know, if you're a family, you know, if you're looking for 2, 3, 4 bedrooms, you've got a better shot. I don't even think it's good there either. But if you're just a single person, you know, 60 people, you know, if there's an ad that shows up for a studio, 60 people flock for one studio,
wow.
That kind of thing. It's just,
I'm getting
so
a sense of, you know, the street, that
no.
The first thing I saw was like a
uh-huh.
corner street sign.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like, you know, are some of those streets named after alphabets like Avenue A or things like that? I'm not
familiar. No, actually not. You know, I've lived in a lot of places, and now that you mention it, there is nothing like that. That's funny that you mentioned that, because it kind of seems like that would be the case in this particular town, but no, there isn't that sort of like 1, 2, 3, 4 Avenue A, B, C, D in this town at all.
But I got
kind of
a sense.
I've never really thought about it.
I got a sense of something with an A, and I feel that again. You need to put your feelers out in all directions. Contact, you know. Yeah, you have to pay a fee and everything. Realtor, but, you know, just put your feelers out. And the space that I feel that you're going to be drawn to is, as soon as you walk in there, you feel it. You know, this is where you want to be. And when you were talking about, you know, taking classes, I also feel that you just have to do. You just have to, you know, create, not necessarily take classes, but just reassess things, just create. I know, you know, there's these coloring books and all that are out there, and, you know, just, you know, do some of that, just to open up yourself to receive information, you know, from you know, your guides in spirit mm-hmm. and your loved ones, because they're there to help. And if you set your intentions and ask for help, then things will fall in place. But you have to ask. Don't think, does that make sense?
I do that through my day. I do that through my working day. I live in it's a continuous state of prayer, of asking for. I do vision boards. I do journaling. I do affirmations. I do a lot of visualization because I'm very visual. You know, just in my mind, I'm very clear about exactly what it is that I need at this time. I'm very clear about what would work for me, what the need is. So this has gotten so frustrating for me. To be honest, there's nothing more I can do. I even buried a St. Joseph statue, you know, the little patron saint of shelter. I'm not Catholic, but it's a religious practice where you put a little statue upside down in the yard. And I even did that. That's a fascinating tradition if anyone listening wants to look that up. So, I feel that there's nothing more I can do. I talk to people. I read the ads. I drive around. I go to places. I go to the door and say, do you have a vacancy coming up? I have taken many, many unconventional approaches, think outside the box approaches, and it's this housing market has caught me to the point where I am just about ready to throw in the towel.
What is keeping you in this job? Because I feel that your job is why you're staying where you are.
No. This is just a food service job. I stay in the town because this is a good place for me. I mean, it's a good fit, aside from the housing situation. It took me 59 years of my life to find a place where I could actually stay put. So, no, it's not the job at all. I could get a food service job anywhere. And besides, I don't even want to be working in food service because it is not high pay. I don't make enough, certainly not a retirement nest egg. It's not even a monthly nest egg.
But I feel it's not your job. It's like you're looking for another space to live, but I'm not understanding, well, what's wrong with the place you're living in now? And, you know, is it because, you know, I feel that also if you you have to be patient and also assess the reasons why you want to move. And if the, you know, universe is saying, you know, there's nothing available, you need to be patient and also evaluate, well, why exactly do I want
to
move? And
I have to. That's a very personal matter. It has to happen. I'm not going to go into the whys. That's very private.
Okay.
Guys,
I don't want to take any more time. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing then. I don't have any more.
Okay.
It's been 4.5 months. I needed to be out 4 months ago. I'll just let it go. Well, I'll let you go on and take another call then. That's fine. You gave it a good shot, and I did too. Thank you. I appreciate your time. I really do. And your, you know, efforts are,
all right,
are noted. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
All right, guys. Next up, we have Laura, and Laura is calling from California. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Yes, hi. So I'm not working right now, but I plan on working in the next couple of months and just wondered what you see for me.
I initially see like hands, a lot of hands, like working with people and like helping hands.
You're right.
And I feel that you've also done, like, I'm hearing volunteer, you've done volunteer work, and there's, like, you have a sense of, like, a sense of purpose and a sense of, I don't know if I want to say social work, but, you know, being involved and bettering people's lives and, you know, helping hands.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say health profession, but it's also, I just feel that, you know, I'm just seeing older people almost want to say like Meals on Wheels kind of program, but, you know, a social assistant type of program. And I feel that, you know, working with people, you know, helping people and just bettering their lives, their day-to-day lives. I mean, it's so nurturing. But I just feel like this healing and hands and working with people and having that connection to people and putting smiles on people's faces. Does that make sense to you?
It totally, completely makes sense. I want to validate you, especially from your last call. So I wanted to ask you, too, is that so I was going to school in Colorado for medical assistant, and I was taking care of an elderly gentleman at that time. He passed. I love him so much. But anyway, I came out here to California in a new town in Temecula, actually, and there's not a lot of jobs here. So I'm thinking, and I had to leave school in the middle of it. I'm like, oh. And I've looked around at schools, and I don't think that there's very many schools around here. So that's why I'm asking, do you see me going back to school, or do you see me traveling way far for a job? I just don't know where to start looking. Does that make sense? I'm sorry. I'm trying to get more, like, detail.
I just feel, you know, I'm hearing network. Go to the places that you're at now. Talk to people.
Okay.
People might, you know, word of mouth. You have used, you know, look at your resume, you know, and get it, like, right where you need it. Start, you know, look in where you are, but also don't be afraid to look outside of where you are.
Right.
And also network with people, and word of, you know, word of mouth. And so go around to the hospitals, to the centers, and, you know, see what connections that you make and follow up with them, and also get, you know, your credentials, you know, how you're going to present yourself in order so you're just ready to go. And don't limit yourself. We hold our back through fear, you know, and self-doubt. So, you know, just throw that all away and just go out there and make those connections and contact the people that you've worked with before and the places that you've worked with before. If you have time, even consider, and I know it's like you want to establish, you know, your career and a job and, you know, feel settled, and that's really important. But also look at your time and see again, well, do I want? I know working with the elderly, but I just see when I saw this, you know, this man in a wheelchair, and it's just like he has his hands out, you know, and I think that's really significant. And so, you know, I want to say I'm drawn to a nursing home too, and I know it's you know, it's very emotional, and you make connections with people. And, of course, it's hard when people pass, but it's also so enriching of what you're giving to those people. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. So, totally. But you don't see me going back to school then, right? I'm hearing?
I feel that you need to get into a place where I feel like hands-on learning is priceless. And I feel that if you can get into a place, even if you're volunteering again, which will lead to, once you're in a place, I feel like there's more schooling then. Does that make sense? It's like, I feel like you have the knowledge in you. It's almost a knowing. And maybe
I do have the knowing. I just don't have it on paper, if that makes sense.
Yes. I feel that if you're not presently volunteering or having some connection in the health field, in a place, in a hospital, in a hospice, in a nursing home, I feel that you need to establish that. And that'll just help you. You know, if you are already, that's great. And I feel, again, that you need to decide exactly what you want to do moving forward, and then seek out, talk to people, research, you know, a lot of things you have to take in consideration.
We just moved here, so that's why, right? We just moved here, and so that's why I was asking in the future, what do you see? And then, you know, the time frame. Do you see a time frame?
Yes. I feel that, you know, within a year, you're going to know what you want to do and find the program. I think it's critical of finding the right program for you, for what you want to do, and also financially, you know, all of those things have to, it's like putting the puzzle together. Does that make sense?
Right, right, right. No, totally, totally it does.
And you just made this transition, this move. So, again, do your homework and, you know, do your research, visit places, look at programs, and, you know, go for it. And but you need to find the right one that feels good to you and then go with it.
Right, right, right. Okay. I just want to validate you're right on. You were absolutely right on. So
thank you so much.
Let's go with love, love and light.
Right. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy, we're down to the last 8 minutes of the show. So would you guys like to try one more, or Cindy, would you like to just take it back over? You have a little bit of room, but not a lot.
Let's have one more reading, Mary, and just try to make it about 5 minutes or six.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Awesome. Then we have Donna from California. Welcome to the show, Donna. Hello. Okay. Let's try Miranda from California. Welcome to the show, Miranda.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Hi, Marianne. So I'm looking to move and purchase a new home, and I'm wondering what you see regarding that.
Well, I initially see dogs around you. I could totally be wrong, but I feel like you have dogs in your life.
No.
Cause I just, are there any dogs?
No. They're next door. I don't own any pets.
All right, because I just felt like, you know, I just, like ears, like dogs. Okay. I feel like, I'm just hearing expand. You want to expand, and I feel that you don't want to, you want a change of space, but I don't see you, like, moving out of the state or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to. You're right. Yeah, I want to. I want to be in the same like, area.
Yeah, and you
not
need,
too far from
you
where
need,
I am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need a house that's functional, that functions for you, that has the space that you need. And I feel that, you know, at this point in your life, it's like you deserve it. You've worked hard, and you need a place that truly feels like yours. You know,
Absolutely.
A connection to place is really important
yes.
to you.
Yes,
and,
very much so.
And that feels like home. And I feel like family is really important to you. Like,
very
you know,
much.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Family, it's like, you know, it's just like mm-hmm. center in the heart, and I feel like you have, like, you know, people look to you. It's almost like, you know, like you're the glue. I want to say so it's like finding the place that you feel like this is home, this is okay, this is where I'm going to be. Okay, I'm not
right.
going to be moved for a really long time, so it's got to be
exactly.
the right
exactly
and,
yeah,
and I feel like you'll know it when you're in there. Like, you open up the door and it's like, you know. It's just finding that place that you almost have like a list of what you want, and it's just like checking off all of those things. But I will say that don't make it so specific that, because once you're in a space, you can always make it your own. Does that make sense?
Of course. Of course. No, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was just thinking if you picked up on any specifics regarding this home or a street name or a house number, anything that would sort of help me hone in.
Well, the number four is coming to me, so that might be, it might take 4 months. I feel, though, that you've been looking for a while. Is that correct? I feel, you know, you've been, you know,
yes,
so, but
I
feel like four is a significance. Four houses, you know, there's four is a significance. There might be a choice between four houses that you're going to have to make your choice. I also feel like water is really important to you because I'm like a water feature. I'm drawn to water. That's kind of like, you know, a make or break kind of deal with you. But the number four is significant and is significant. And but I feel that four. Could be the date, a month, but you're going to have to move fast. That makes sense. Like, once you find it, you're going to have to move fast. So it's like, okay, be prepared. You know, get, you know, start packing if you haven't already. But, you know, you to make things go faster, you almost have to start moving the energy, you know, in your house now. So to really propel the momentum, because I feel like 4 months, but if you want it to be sooner, you're going to have to make things happen. And sometimes if we start, you know, really packing up things and just preparing and moving the energy that we're in kind of helps propel the momentum. But I feel that water is important. I don't know if you're looking for a pool or a hot tub or to be near water, some source of water. I think water is really important to you. It's almost an energizing thing, or the shower feature, something significant just is going to be very important in your decision making. And light. I see you in a very bright place with, like, windows. It gets a lot of light. And not too much. You know, there's trees, like, in the backyard and all, but there's, like, light. I see light in the front of the house, like, light coming in through the front. And like, some, you know, place where you can have a garden or some in the back, you know, more shade in the back. But, and I don't see
Mary?
A very... Yes.
We're going to need to end.
Okay. But I feel that in order to get things to move, you need to start doing things in the house that you are in now to kind of propel and start the energy moving towards that direction.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary. That was really interesting. I really appreciate your being on the show today. I really, really appreciate having a chance to ask you some questions and learning some things I didn't know. So we'll definitely enjoy talking about this.
Thank you.
And
thank you so much.
Oh, you're really welcome. Just a reminder, my August sale is going on for my readings at $39.99 for half an hour. Please go to my website at www.cindyleacock.com. Many great thanks to our great guests today, Mariana Henneke, and our music today is thanks to Jason Shaw at Audionautics. Our producer has been Courtney. Thanks to them and to you for tuning in and sharing the Psychic Sandbox with us. So until next week, remember to take recess every day and have some psychic fun. And then we'll be back for more on August 7th, next Thursday, at 1 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us. Bye.